do baptisms, and as I told you before, that's one of my favorite things to do. Normally it comes in another form of baptizing small children, and mostly infants. And but sometimes I have the opportunity to receive adults into the faith. And this last year, I had a chance to get to know a gentleman that he had been a veteran of a war. He had, and he had told me during the, he had called up a while back and said that he was interested in learning more about the Catholic faith. He had been interested for some time, and he had been watching EWTN on TV and was really thinking that he was called to become Catholic. And so we started going through the classes, and I gave him some materials to read, and at a certain point, so after he had been taking the classes for about a year, right before Christmas, he said that we decided that he was ready to be received into the church. And during the course of our classes and things, he had told me on a couple of different occasions that, you know, he had not lived a very good life up until that point, but that through God's grace, he had changed those things that were holding him back. And so when the day came for his baptism, it was just a very beautiful experience. It was a small ceremony, and I baptized him in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And the look on his face when he came up from those waters of baptism was just a beautiful expression of just a peace, a serenity, and just really of God's love. And it was almost as if the burden of the whole world had been lifted from his shoulders. And today, as we celebrate the feast day of the baptism of our Lord, the Church invites us to reflect on this mystery of baptism and its significance in our own lives. And in the second reading, St. Paul gives us some insights into what happens to us during the course of our baptism. He says, "When in the kindness and generous love of God our Savior appeared, not because of any righteous deeds that we had done, but because of his mercy." So this gift that we're going to receive is a completely free gift of God. Unmerited, undeserved, free gift of God. There's nothing that we can do to earn this gift from God. There's nothing that we can do to make ourselves worthy. But it is a completely of his generous love that he desires, and generous mercy that he desires to give this to us. And how does he give it to us? He saved us through the bath of rebirth, baptism, and renewal by the Holy Spirit. So when those waters are poured, and through the action of the Holy Spirit, we receive that saving power of God, that he takes away our sin, that he takes away our guilt, whom he richly poured out on us through Jesus Christ our Savior. So it's the Holy Spirit is poured into us, we're united to Jesus as members of his body, so that we can be with our Father in heaven just as Jesus is. So that we might be justified by his grace. So we are made righteous before God and become heirs in hope of eternal life. So St. Paul is alluding to here in this last statement is something even more that happens to us in baptism. Because not only is our sin taken away, not only are we wiped clean, but we become heirs, children of God, in our baptism. And so when we understand that and read that in the context of today's gospel, then we understand a little bit more of what Jesus is doing here. You know, he goes into the rivers of the Jordan and to be baptized by John, and John's like, you know, why are you coming to me? I should be coming to you. And Jesus, you know, as we read in another place, he says, no, allow it for now. Because Jesus is showing us what we need to do and what happens to us in our own baptism. So he comes, and again, John cites that understanding of Holy Spirit And baptize. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So being baptized again with that water and the Holy Spirit. So after all the people had been baptized and Jesus had been baptized and was praying, heaven opened and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came down from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." So this revelation here that is happening, this epiphany, if you will, is revealing not only that Jesus Christ is the true Son of God, that he is anointed with the Holy Spirit, but it's also showing to us what happens to us when we are united with Christ. That through the action of the Holy Spirit descends into our soul, sanctifies us, makes us holy, makes us a member of the body of Christ, and so that the Father can say to us, "You are my beloved Son. I love you." So again, this is a completely unmerited, free gift, loving gift, generous gift of God our Father. And so we realize and recognize the dignity that we have been called to, of what we now are, baptized into Christ Jesus, that we are now the children of God. The Father also says to his Son, "With you I am well pleased." And what this highlights for us then is our need to be pleasing to God, our need after we receive this free gift of love, that on our part, we must respond to God's love. Now it is true that there's nothing that we can do to make God not love us. He will always love us, even if we sin. But his love elicits that response from us, that we desire to be pleasing to God. We desire to love him because we don't want to offend him because of his great love for us. It's like, oh, God's going to love me anyway, so I can go out and sin, or I can go out and fornicate, and it's okay. No, it's not. Yes, he still does love me if I would do such a terrible thing. However, what I'm doing is not pleasing to him, and I am offending the one who loves me so greatly. So I must strive always to be pleasing to God, because I am now a child of God. So how do we know then what is pleasing to God? How do we know what is pleasing to our Father? Well, first of all, we have sacred scripture, the holy word of God, that he gives to us. You know, so we read scripture. You know, I was up in doing the jail mass on Saturday. And you know, one of the guys was telling me, you know, Father, since I've been here, I've been reading the Bible. And now I realize all the things in my life that I haven't been doing right, that I've been doing wrong. And he was contrite. But he was just ignorant. He was just kind of going through life, being thrown about by his passions and his desires. And now finally he had an opportunity then to learn what was good and pleasing to God. And so God teaches us through his sacred scripture. God teaches us through the commandments what is good and what is not good, what enables us to love and what enables us not to love. So when we listen to him, then that manifests the truth of who we are. You are my beloved Son. You are my beloved daughter. With you I am well pleased. Jesus also gives us another place to go where we can understand and learn the truth. And that's the church. Because when we listen to the voice of the church, we listen to Christ himself. And so oftentimes, you know, we see the scandals in the church and we realize the frailty even of the, not only the members of the church, but even and sometimes especially the leadership within the church. And you think, well, why should I listen to them? What do they know? You know, they're at least as bad as sinners as I am. But while it's true that the church is made up of sinful members, even in the hierarchy, that Jesus Christ has also promised that we would always receive the truth of the gospel through his church. And so when we listen to the church and when we listen to her teachings, it is then that we live a life of freedom. It is then that we live a life of love. And it is then that we truly manifest what we are, beloved sons and daughters, beloved children of God, striving to be pleasing to the one who loves us. So as we think about that today, let us think about the different areas. How can we be pleasing to God in our thoughts and our words and our deeds? Let us think about where we can go to learn more about how to be pleasing to God. Maybe to deepen our spiritual life through sacred scripture or doing spiritual reading. Because as we live out the grace of our baptisms, we live out the grace of this love, it is then that we will be able to manifest to the world the truth of who we are. And not only that, we will be able to share this incredible gift with others. You are my beloved son. With you I am well pleased. Let's continue to strive in our lives to recognize the great gift and dignity we have received in our baptism. And as we live and as we strive to unfold that gift and live it out in our daily life and try to be pleasing to God in everything we think, do, and say, may we then manifest that love of God to others and share this gift of our baptism with others.